Today's episode of Gluck Radio is proudly brought to you by Audible.com. Audible.com is the premier provider of digital audiobooks, offering titles in every genre. Now, I want you to go and get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/gluckradio. There are over 150,000 titles to choose from your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. If you're a fan of this show, you might like to download American Savage by my fellow podcaster and sex advice columnist, Dan Savage. Or how about Crush It? Why now is the time to cash in on your passion by Gary Vaynerchuk. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/gluckradio. Again, that's audibletrial.com/gluckradio. Welcome to Gluck Radio. I am Dr. Errol Gluck, executive life coach and master problem solver. Today we're here with Wing Girl and dating expert Moni Kim Rice. She will be discussing dirty dating tips on everything from approaching women to having a great first date that might become the first night together. She may turn you from Mr. Nice to Mr. I Want Him Now. Men, Moni is here to give you the knowledge on attracting women that few men know. Why? Because she's been a sexy woman herself for years, and she knows what women really do want. She's asked a lot of women. What are the things that women are attracted to in a man? How badly do women want you to approach them? And what sort of things should you say? How acceptable is it to say what you want? What's the difference between confidence and aggression? What can you do if she only sees you as a friend? What are some telltale signs that she wants you more? Moni believes she has the answers to all these things and more. We'll see. We're also here with our frequent co-host, who we love to have, Mark Darian. Go to animusempire.com to learn more about him. Moni, welcome to our show. All right, so you are a wing girl. Okay, tell me what your job is as a wing girl, and why in the world did this come to you as a job? Meaning, first of all, say what a wing girl is, even though some of it sounds self-explanatory, but why the interest in the dating scene?
Well, it's funny because it's not like I was 14 years old dreaming of being a wing girl when I grew up. You know, it's not like every single day I was doing everything I could to potentially become a wing girl. I actually did it by accident. And I actually, even before starting my company, I was doing it for all of my guy friends. Like when I was a teenager, I would break the ice for guys. I was being honest with them and telling them what girls wanted, what they didn't want, what turned them on, how to improve themselves or improve their approach so they could get what they wanted with women. And then when I moved out to Los Angeles when I was 23, I randomly went to a rabbi's house for a singles mixer. And at that party, nobody was talking to each other. Like, guys and girls were completely separated, like a junior high school dance. So I started grabbing guys, and I started bringing them over to women, telling them what to say and what not to say, breaking the ice for them, and making them look good to the other girls, and just really getting them comfortable, because that first 5 to 10 seconds of the approach is usually the hardest part. Once you get past that part, it's easy for a lot of people. So I just started doing that for the evening for a lot of guys at that party. And by the end of the night, people were mixing, they were talking, they were having fun, they were making out, a couple of them. And when I went home, I said to my roommate at like 1:30 in the morning, I love what I did tonight. I want to be a wing girl. I think I can be a wing girl for guys, and I think that could be what I do for a living. And he's like, that is never going to happen. Guys do not care what women think. They do not care what women want. They just want to get laid. And I was like, that's not true. So I went into my room, and again, at 1:30 in the morning, posted an ad on Craigslist. By the next morning, I had over 75 responses from guys who were interested in having me as their wing girl. And so now I'm going to define what a wing girl is. So in the very beginning, a wing girl was a girl who went out with you to a bar, a club, a grocery store, anywhere that you wanted to go, and helped validate you to other women. They made you look good. They chatted up girls for you. They told you which girls were available, which girls weren't available. They helped make you look the best that you could possibly look, just like a wingman is to his guy friends. A wing girl does exactly the same thing. But since I started my business, I've kind of transformed what a wing girl is so that I can help men all around the world. And now what I do is I provide guidance and advice and also lessons on how to do these things for yourself. And I offer men a female perspective on what's going on.
So it's kind of consulting at this point. It's, you know, you're consulting about the areas. Now, before, like, you took it to the next level, but when a person was a wing girl, you know, and didn't take it to the next level, how did they get, was there a paid kind of thing? Like, a, you know, for a couple hundred bucks, you take me out?
And wait, Marty, let me ask you this. Was the purpose of having the wing girl to help the guy or just to make the guy look good just because there's this girl now standing next to this guy, therefore he is less creepy by definition?
Well, honestly, it was for both. It was like to help the guy look good and then also to educate him what he should be doing. Yeah, because that's the thing. Like, when I first started, I would go with these guys. They would pay me a lot of money, and then, like, their night would be over, and they would be in the same position as they were in before. They would go out on their own and still be kind of clueless. So I started combining what I was doing, which is a wing girl service, with coaching. And I started, you know, doing research, interviewing women. Now I probably interviewed over 4,000 women from around the world on what they want, what they don't want, what turns them on, what attracts them. And I relay that information to the guys that I work with because I really believe that if you're a man and you need a woman to pick up women for you, then you're not really much of a man. So I prefer for guys to learn on their own how to do it, and then after they know how to do it, then they can, then they can use the wing girl service.
Or what if you ended up meeting your girlfriend that way because you had a wing girl and then your girlfriend found out later? That would be a huge conflict, I could imagine.
Well, that's not the conflict. It's not about having me there. It's about, like, it was about faking it, right? It's about, I would introduce girls to guys who weren't able to have or hold conversation, who weren't confident in themselves, and who just didn't have the skill set that women were looking for. So I turned it around probably 6 months after I started my company and really dedicated myself to teaching men how to be the man that women want to be with and how really ultimately to be the man they've always wanted to be.
So you were actually coaching them, kind of training them, almost kind of a dating therapy kind of thing.
Yeah, that's actually what it totally becomes. The thing is like I answer all the basic questions for guys, like, what does she mean when she says X, Y, and Z? Why did she do this? Is she flaking on me? Blah, blah, blah. I answer all of those questions, but the guys that I work with and the guys that I coach, they really have other things going on that are underlying all of the female stuff. There's some confidence issues there.
Anxiety.
And they don't really know how to ask for what they want, or they don't know how to be assertive, or they don't know that it's okay to go up to a woman and say, like, you're really adorable, like, I want to take you out. They feel like they're rude or they're being jerks or whatever. And so I help by giving them permission and kind of help them find that masculine confidence.
Yeah, that adorable word may not work either. But this is what I'm curious about. Tell me, curious about a lot of things, and I love your attitude and your energy, by the way. It's just wonderful. What do you find is the common thread? In the same way that I find, you know, in my practice, that the common thread that interferes with people getting what they want is just basic fear and anxiety of rejection.
100%. Okay. 100%. That's all that it is.
Yeah. So tell me that you have this anxiety. Yeah, this core anxiety that keeps people from getting what they want or lying to keep what they have, even though they don't want what they have. What is it that you have found out that women do actually want?
Well, to be honest, it's the opposite of that. It's men who are like, okay, I could get rejected, but I'm going to do it anyway. The men who don't let little things like that
No. I don't want to talk about the men yet. I want to talk about the women for a second.
No. That's what I'm saying, that women are attracted to. The guys who sort of charge through that. And it kind of sucks sometimes because most of the guys who are able to sort of say, you know, like, screw being rejected, I don't really care, I'd rather go after what I want, end up being guys who, you know, who end up being jerks or assholes or douchebags. And, yeah, exactly.
Psychopaths
exactly.
are great at that.
Yeah.
They don't need you at all, Marnie. I bet you get no psychopaths as clients.
Oh, I've talked to many of them. And trust me, it's like an endless battle with them. It's crazy. But, yeah, that's ultimately what they're attracted to. The thing is like, I realized, okay, this for me, the reason that I do what I do is because I resonate so much with the guys that I work with. I'm straight. I have a husband. I have a baby, obviously. But I used to be extremely intimidated.
That doesn't count anymore, by the way.
Right.
Yeah, this is Los Angeles, so who knows?
You know.
This could be a hippie commune.
You know, the baby doesn't really kind of count as the husband there. Okay, but Gad, I mean, and by the way, do you find a lot of the guys fall in love with you?
Oh, probably.
No.
Maybe a little, but they don't tell you. I can see that.
Yeah, it's like they see me as something totally different, and if they were to go down that path, which they never have openly done that with me, they just know that it's very off limits. I make it very clear in the way that we work together. All of the literature on my website is very clear that I'm not for you. I'm not there to date you. I'm there to help you. So, yeah, that's very clear. But what I was saying before is that like I used to be really anxious, really intimidated by girls. I used to think pretty people were better than me. So I really resonated with the guys that I work with because I understood where they were coming from and where that anxiety came from. And the thing is that now through coaching these guys, like I've transformed my own anxieties where I see women as being equals to me, even if they're gorgeous or really famous or really popular or really outgoing. I've sort of humanized them, and that's what I do for a lot of guys. And I think it's a great benefit to women because now awesome guys with integrity and good intentions also have the skill set to approach them and be with them, as opposed to just the narcissistic sociopath, psychopath man who pushes past fear of rejection and goes up and approaches them.
If a guy doesn't have a sexual disorder, such as, you know, he just literally needs to have sex all the time, his testosterone levels are off the roof.
Yeah.
How often is he simply trying to just prove himself to his friends or prove himself to himself just by putting another notch in his belt? And by the way, tell me where like and love fits into all this and relationships.
Like and love. What do you mean by that?
Meaning, like when you're hooking up a person, and you're trying to get him or her interacting with the woman, are you trying to get him in looking at the woman of what she represents for the night, or what she represents for what he really needs as a person?
To be honest, I really just want to give people options, but I want them to have those options with integrity, right? Like, I don't want them to look at women as objects. I'm a woman, so I don't want anybody that is going to objectify me or anybody else as part of my gender, because I think that is, it's shameless, it's useless, and it's not needed to get what you want. I think that you can do everything with high integrity and honest intentions, but I really, like, if I'm not a preacher of everybody should be in a relationship and you can't sleep with multiple women and you can't do, like, I just want to give the guys the options that they've always wanted to have. I want them to have sex in the bathroom at a club if that's what they want to do. I want them to date multiple women at a time. I want them to potentially find an awesome relationship.
Yeah, and I think
I
think what a lot of people don't understand, I think what Marnie's trying to convey here is the ability to have sex in a bathroom in a club, that is somehow a gateway to a relationship. If you can do that, then the steps that it takes to get into a relationship are much easier. Because having sex with a woman in a club comes down to you need to work on your anxiety. And once you do, girls want to have sex in the bathroom with you. That's what they want with a guy.
The thing is, They just want to be that guy that they've always seen, right? The guys who they get really mad at, where they're like, I just spent half an hour talking to this woman, being super nice to her, buying her drinks. You came in for 10 minutes, and now you're going upstairs with her. Like, I want to end that frustration. I want them to be able to do whatever they want and be able to select the women they want into their lives rather than just taking what they can get, which for a lot of the guys that I work with, that's what kind of happens. That's why they get so fixated on one girl who gives them attention, even if these girls aren't that great. That's why they end up in the friend zone, you know?
No
so
options.
I want them to think like, okay, if you say no to me, I've got 5 other girls over there who are totally down for whatever it is.
Or 50, or I'll go to the next club and there's 50 more. It doesn't matter. Just keep coming.
So wine walk, do you think that women want to have sex in a club? Meaning at the end of the day, are they...
girls are nuts. More nuts than guys when it comes to stuff like that.
But don't you think that they're looking that... Not all, because again, we can't make assumptions because every culture and person is different and, you know, different types of ice cream, different types of people. But generally, the woman having sex in the club is being not very discriminating, and...
I think she is, actually.
She's discriminating?
I think women who have sex in the club get taken down a notch. People say, oh, you would just have sex with anybody, and I don't think that's true. They would have sex with a man with the first 5 minutes of meeting him if he gets to a certain set of criteria.
Okay,
yes. And not many guys do, and a lot of that criteria comes down to, I mean, a girl wouldn't say it this way, but what it really is a guy with very little anxiety.
Okay.
That's really what it comes down to.
I completely agree with you. Listen, I'm a huge prude. I am a prude girl. I've been a prude girl for my entire life. But things that in my life I have been open to because it's been the right guy who is fearless asking me to do them. So I'll tell you a story. Like when I was 20 years old, again, used to be the biggest prude. I was backpacking in Australia, and I would make out with everybody and kiss everybody. Like I was fine with that, but going any further would not happen for me. I would just like freeze up and tense up. And I met this guy at a bar one night. I saw him from the beginning of the night and just thought like, that guy is amazing. He was skinny. He was 5'7". He wasn't anything to look at, but he was just like this leader of his group, and he was having fun. And yeah, he was cool. And like, he would walk by me, look at me, smile at me, talk for 2 seconds, but then go back to his friend, whose friends were more important. He was having an amazing time. And I loved that. And at the end of the night, he came up to me, had like a 3-minute conversation, then happened to find out we were staying at the same hostel, walked back to our hostel together, started making out. We went back to my room in the hostel and started making out, and he then like reached for my bra to undo it, and I tensed up immediately. And the thing is that I've done this so many times with so many other guys, and a lot of guys do not handle that situation well. Either they get mad at me, or they get uncomfortable, or they get discouraged because I've done it and tensed up, or they just push past it, right, and ignore it. But this guy did something that no guy had ever done before with me. He stopped, looked at me, and said, if you're uncomfortable with anything that we're doing, just slap my hand. And he literally grabbed my hand, slapped his own hand, and said, and we'll stop. And I said, that's amazing. And I completely relaxed, because at that moment I was like, that is awesome. My sexuality is now my choice. And I love that he just handled it so well and said he didn't care either way. He was fine with whatever it is that I wanted to do. And I slept with him. That was my first ever one-night stand. And that was very uncharacteristic of me, but his behavior allowed me to really free myself sexually so that I wouldn't feel bad about my choice afterwards.
That's a great point. And that's something that guys email me and have questions about. They have, you know, because they have situations where they have girls up in their bedroom, like they're college age, and they go in and do something, and the girl freaks out and runs away, and they're asking, why did she run away? And I'm saying, trust me, dude, you did something weird. You were pushing too hard or being skeevy.
Right.
Or when she stopped you, you got all flustered. There was some anxiety or shame issue that came up in that moment that caused you to act like a weirdo. And that's what caused her. No girl's going to really run out of your apartment unless you're being a total creepo.
I would completely agree with you, Mark. But Mark, I'm going to ask this both to you. What happens if you get this really cool guy? You know, he's real comfortable in himself. He's naturally has a good sense of humor. He doesn't have to try to put it on. And now they're in this intimate relationship. They're in this intimate situation. And all of a sudden, for no other, the guy can't get it up. Maybe he drank too much. Maybe it just wasn't his night.
Yeah.
How should the guy handle it? And what would you tell the guy to deal with the woman who's going through the, oh, my God, maybe he's gay.
Keep some Viagra handy. So many guys in New York. It's amazing to me how many guys in New York who have not reached 30 take Viagra just because it's fun. Just because I guess the erection's like even stronger. It's crazy to me.
I've been hearing a lot about that as well. But like, so there's a couple of things going on. So they're drinking, they have like whiskey dick, whatever. So you're saying that they're in a relationship with a girl. So
No, I'm just saying this is a one night stand. I want to know how the guy deals with it. How would you tell him to deal with it cool? How do you become limp dick and cool?
He tells the girl, sit back and relax. I'm going to rock your world tonight with my hands, with my mouth. Forget about my penis. It's all about you.
Do you give guys, like, in detailed tips on what to do if you're going down on a girl or fingering a girl? Or does it not get that explicit?
I can't, because this is the thing. That's not my area of expertise, but I have other wing girls who like, that is their main focus. So I'll always point them towards other resources. And I've learned a lot from people that I've spoken to, but there are people who are way better at giving that information than me. So I've worked with like ex-porn stars before who like they know about like how to actually be pleasured, not how to be pleasured in porn, because a lot of porn is done for the camera, but how to actually like, you know, pleasure a girl, go down on a girl, finger a girl, have sex. So yeah, so I will definitely give that advice.
Yeah, you can actually pick up some bad habits from porn.
Yeah, well, pick up bad habits and also pick up bad self-image. So many guys who I get coming through my door who are neurotic they're coming because they think their penis is too small, and it literally just their whole life is wrapped up into this, thinking that, you know, the size of their penis determines whether they're going to be successful sexually, which it doesn't.
But that's a huge belief for men. The thing is, I've learned so much about men just from doing what I'm doing.
So how important is the size of your penis according to the women who you talk to? How much of this myth of penis size really is real?
Okay, so I actually did a survey recently about, you know, sex and penis size and being pleasured. And the thing is that nobody ever said it has to be this size. There's never any specific size mentioned. They just say a good size, right? So a good size can be different for so many people, but what outweighed the good size of a penis was knowing what to do with it. So I always tell guys, it's like, okay, you can have the biggest penis in the entire world, but if you don't know what to do with it, then it's completely useless. And I've been with guys with big penises, and because they've always had a big penis, they've never really learned about how to pleasure a woman and how to use their penis. So they're just like, you know, jackrabbits.
That's why fat guys are the most charming.
That's not pleasurable. Yeah.
They have
and like
to
the
be.
Other guys. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you can bring a woman to the verge of orgasm without using your penis at all. So let's say you have a 4-inch cock or something. If you bring her to the edge of orgasm, if you have a 4-inch cock, you just have to stick it in a few times, and that's all it needs.
And there's only really about 3 inches until you get to, there's no nerve endings anyway. You know, so there's no nerve endings after 3 inches of cervix.
Yeah. And a lot of the guys who write into me and say, I'm a virgin, it's really embarrassing, what do I do? So, and I tell them to educate themselves. Okay, you're a virgin, go out and practice and like read books, watch videos, figure out how to be awesome in bed, gain confidence from knowledge, and then when you are in the bedroom, just treat it as like an exploratory adventure where she's a part of it, you're a part of it. That is way better than most guys who are out there, because you're going to be paying attention to her, paying attention to her body cues, because most guys have no freaking clue what a woman's body cues are telling them.
Okay, so I want now spill the bills. What body cues should guys look for? Because everyone listening to this is what they want to hear. What are they looking for? Are they looking for the eyes? Are they looking for the hand?
Things. No, the body movement, the body flow, little noises. So when somebody's doing something that I like, I will let them know through rolling my body in some way, okay, or moaning in some way. And as they get better and closer to where it is that I want to be touched, I'll either moan louder or I'll move faster. A lot of times when girls are wiggling, it's because your fingers or your mouth or something's in the wrong spot, and they're trying to get you to where the spot is that actually feels good for them. So if they're wiggling a little bit and trying to shift your hand or your mouth or your penis, then pay attention to that, because that means that you're just slightly off of where it actually pleasures them. But if they're like gyrating, I guess is the better word, it's not rolling, but if they're gyrating, they're definitely enjoying what's going on.
Yeah, and girls will gyrate, and after you stop, and they'll just keep gyrating. It's almost like it's unconscious to some degree. Yeah.
But yeah. I would tell women, the women who are listening to this podcast, here's what don't do. Don't give directions like a traffic cop. A little more to the left, a little more to the right, higher, slower, because that is kind of a turnoff. And fuck me harder is not a turn on, okay? Because the at that point, the guy is all of a sudden going to go soft because he's thinking, I'm doing it as best as I can.
Right.
Know?
I thought this was hard, yeah.
Right? I thought this was
that's
hard.
That's interesting, because I didn't even know that. That's a really good note, because like a lot of women who
that's
do
a
watch
huge turn off.
Women, yeah, but you would, because of porn, we think that that's a turn on for guys. So that's probably why we're saying it, not because we really want to be fucked harder, but because it's like the sexy thing to say that you see in porn. So that's a really good point that you just made.
I like when girls make that face where their eyes are about half open or maybe only a third open, but they're crossed too a little bit.
Yeah.
It's like they just got hit with a bunch of heroin or something.
Or seven yeah. shots
that's
of tequila.
That's a good look. You want to go for that look. When like her right eye is going off to the right, but her left eye is staying center. Like that's good.
Unfortunately, if it stays for 3 days, you did something wrong.
or
right.
But it's funny that you were saying about like the giving instructions. I actually wish men gave more instructions to women. I think, you know, the reason we give instructions is because we realize that what you're doing, you know, isn't exactly like eating cupcakes, you know? It's a job, and it sometimes isn't amazing for you on your end. So that's why we give you directions, so that it can get us to where we need to be in a faster amount of time, and so that we're always feeling good. And I know that I wish sometimes men gave more instructions. And half the time, I can't tell if I'm doing a good job.
See, men, the men who are confident will give instructions, because women take instructions better, because at the end of the day, they really want to please. Men
yeah.
don't take instructions very well, because it makes them feel like, I don't know what I'm doing. She knows more than me. And
exactly.
It's not a good feeling for them. But women are great with instructions. Okay. Sometimes the guys don't know how to give it, because one of the biggest problems in intimacy is everyone is concentrating only on genitals and not on actually the entire body. You know, as you pointed
yes.
out, the objectification of breasts and vagina is just the wrong way of learning how to make love.
Oh, I completely agree with you. There's like millions of spots on the female body or even on the male body that feel equally as awesome as like the clitoris and breasts. The nape of my neck drives me crazy. My ears make me crazy. Between my shoulder blades, behind my knee. Oh my God. All of those spots are amazing erogenous zones that so many men ignore.
Well, because guys don't understand that they have similar kind of erogenous zones in their body. So they think, well, I want a girl to just go right for my dick, so that's what I'm going to do to her. Because
right.
that's what
exactly.
I want. But they don't realize that there's like a different brain in there.
Yeah, because the reason guys want it, it's not what they want, is they want to feel like they completed the task. They don't necessarily
exactly.
want that. They want to be able to say, okay, it's done. I am now a man. I'm a guy. I did this. As opposed to exploring yeah. different types of pleasure, which is like a whole lot
yeah,
more fun.
Can I talk about me having sex the next day without being a liar? That's my task. That's all I care about.
Really?
Well, I'm being sarcastic, but...
I know.
But like a lot of guys have that kind of mentality. Like, I just need to get this done so I...
Right, meaning so I have bragging rights and that's probably, to be honest, that would probably be the reason why the bathroom thing I think could be counterproductive, because number one, it's usually under the influence of a lot of alcohol, and two, you don't have the foundation of dialogue, which is really sexy. I mean, you really want a person who you could really, you could duel with and have something to say to. Because, you know, men and women don't, well, men are better when women just walk out and leave the room and say goodnight. But very often, the loneliness that, you know, that I hear from my clients after doing this for 37 years of one-night stands produces, you know, a tremendous amount of depression. Because all of a sudden, they do feel, of course, objectified.
Yeah, not all one-night stands are created equal.
it's a good Marnie, you were about to say something and I missed it.
Yeah. Well, I was gonna say, so I think that for a lot of people, if they have continuous one night stands, then that would lead to dissatisfaction. But I'll say, for me, I want to have fun experiences in my life. I want my husband to come home and make love to me and tease me for hours and have amazing sex where we connect and stuff. But sometimes I really want him to just come home, look at me, want me, desire me, and then fuck me, like, and throw me up against the wall without hurting me, obviously, because he's much bigger than I am. But, like, sometimes you just want that animal urge. You want to feel wanted and desired. And I want it like how I see it in movies, you know? And so sometimes I do want to have sex in a bathroom, and it's not about the conversation and connecting. It's about that roller coaster of excitement and that rush of, like, just being wanted by somebody and me wanting that person back and then just acting on it.
Yeah, it's almost like as much as men want to desire women, that's how much women want to be desired by men.
Oh, exactly. Good point.
Yeah, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, we're talking about, you know, the incredible rush of hormones going on and endorphins and really actually feeling high, because, you know, sex is one of those drives where people will do things like spend money they would never spend or travel further than they would like to travel in the cold. So don't really pay a high price for sex. The question is the price worth it? And when is it worth it and when is it not?
I think that's, you know, up to every single individual. I would say, I talk to my husband about this all the time. He's much more experienced, actually, than I am. And, you know, we've talked about, because he had a lot of one-night stands, and he said, you know, they're not as satisfying because you don't know how the other person's body moves. It's drunk half the time. It's not great sex, but it's a fun rush. They're two different experiences. So I think every individual has to decide what their wants are, what their drive is, what they need, what they don't need, and when enough is enough, or when they're looking for something more serious or something more casual. That's completely up to them.
Yeah, I think we need to keep in mind also that some people can have one-night stands for really degenerative reasons. While another person could have a one-night stand for great reasons, like, I want to go out and have fun, while somebody else is, I have to have a one-night stand because, you know, my father abused me when I was 12. And there's a lot of that, too.
Right.
And you can't treat them like they're equally. There can be very pure intentions or very bad intentions.
I mean, that's actually a great point, Mark. But somewhere, that dialogue doesn't take place. So for some people, the one-night stand, that is just, I want to have a great time. The next morning, the text should be, you know what, don't know much about you, but you are amazing, and I love my time with you. As opposed to, you know, you're just like every other man who just wants to get in my pants, you know, and
right.
I mean, you don't want that text. So how do you avoid, how do you filter so that the next morning is like a pleasant morning as opposed to a horrible morning?
I love what you just said. That's perfect.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're asking me? Because I think
I'm asking anyone who wants to answer that question.
I'll tell you, I think you can pick up on crazy girls. It's not that difficult. I can't really explain it exactly, but if a girl is totally nuts, it's not that difficult to pick up on.
Give me some of the things that you observe.
This one time about 6 months ago, this girl came up to me just really drunk and smelled me. I've been out all day playing frisbee in the park. She smelled me, And it's not what she said. It was how she said it. She said something to the effect of, oh, I could fuck you so hard tonight. And she had this crazy look on her eyes. And a lot of guys, I think, would have been like, oh, really? But I was like, no way in hell. Like, get away from me. Let's go to, I'm going to a different bar. And a lot of guys like, will take the bait on that and they'll be like, why are all these crazy girls coming into my life? Well, dude, you're being a moron.
Now let me ask you a question. Was this girl drop-dead gorgeous? Truth, Mark.
She was pretty cute. She was pretty cute. She was not drop-dead gorgeous.
And if she was drop-dead gorgeous.
I don't care about that. If she took her clothes off, I would have gotten a boner, which is all that really matters anyway. So
but if she
was a one.
But if she was a 10 physically, would you have fucked her?
No. Look, the easiest way to get over idolizing really attractive girls is to have sex with one. And then the next morning you think, oh, that was just like every other girl. It doesn't really matter that much. That's the easiest way to do it. Like, for the longest time, I remember I really wanted to have sex with a skinny girl. And then I did. And I was like, why? What? That doesn't matter. So I've had enough experiences in my life where I could look at this girl and be like, wow, you're crazy. Get away from me.
All right. Yeah. So Mark has a built-in nut detector, you know, to most guys don't, by the way. Most guys have no clue who's crazy.
You need to go out and get more experience with girls and interact with a lot.
It doesn't really happen that way, because what happens is that for most guys, for many, many guys, their brain shuts down and they go into a different mode. And the rational cognitive part of the brain that you seem to keep intact, you know, that's a rare gift. You know, most guys don't really have that ability to do that. They just get into the mode that somebody wants me and I love to be wanted.
Well, maybe I'm gay.
Well, I just think you're experienced. I think you put yourself out there and you've collected a lot of information and knowledge. You've practiced, and that's where that attitude comes from. And that's the complete attitude that we were talking about in the beginning of this call was women are attracted to men who laugh at fear of rejection, you know, who can say no to them. Women who are 10s who usually have men, as you're saying, like go crazy and just saying yes to anything that they want. Those men aren't attractive to them. But a man like you, who's like, I've had somebody like you, I know you're crazy, or I know you're not that great and you're just on the same level as me. Those are the men that those women want to be with. So,
well I will say, when guys ask me what my qualifications are for giving dating advice, I always say I have been rejected more times than anybody else.
And that's the same thing for the most successful
not
salesperson.
Not about my successes, it's about my rejections.
That's what the greatest salesman in the world will tell you. You know, what's your secret is I've been rejected more times than anyone else because I try harder, and eventually someone says yes, and if rejection doesn't bother you, then you're going to be very successful.
Yeah.
But let me ask you this question. Everyone's sober now. For a second, let's go to a sober bar. Okay, what's the difference in how you would tell the guy who doesn't have a drop of booze in him, you know, how to go over to a woman, you know, as you being the wing girl specialist, and how to actually engage when she's with a group of other women?
Well, actually, I don't advise guys on just going to bars and clubs. Most of the things that I advise are used in an everyday scenario. So I have a method for creating conversation with women. It's called OSA. So it's observation, share, and ask. So that you break into a conversation, not forcing interview mode on women asking question after question after question.
I actually like that, but give me an example.
Okay, so for example, let's say you're in a coffee shop. So you make an observation. Right, about the muffins or something, or the coffee. You say, oh, God, that coffee smells amazing. That's an observation, right? And afterwards, you share something. Oh, I have to get my coffee because X, Y, and Z. Something about your day or about something that smell reminds you of. Something that gets you to open up a little bit more and inject some kind of emotional statement into what you've been saying, right? So you're talking in your own world, and you're inviting women to come into it as opposed to trying to pounce on their world and figure out what you can say that will get them to open up. And then, after you open and share, you go into asking an open-ended question, which will hopefully get her to engage in conversation with
you.
And
what would that open-ended question be?
It could be something like, what kind of coffee are you getting? Or what's like the best coffee shop in New York? Or what's like something that pertains to the conversation that's at hand? So it's not like a do you like, because that's a yes or no question. So you want to stick with how, why, what, where. And
so the hope is what you're trying to get the person doing is to get more dialogue so eventually he may be able to get a number, slip a number, and there'd be a date?
Yeah, well, the thing is that when like, a guy comes up to me and just asks me question after question after question, I honestly close down after question number three.
Yeah, yeah. Most men and women do not like to be interrogated. That's absolutely true.
No, but I like it when people just openly talk and that person is saying to me, I don't care if you respond. I'm having a good time by myself. If you want to come and jump on this world, you're more than welcome. If you don't, these people are open for having a conversation. I think the best way to pick up women is to not, you know, pick up women, to enjoy the world and be open to it and to be a little bit more selective with who you allow into your life. Because a lot of guys approach women and they have this loaded gun, like literally a loaded gun. And they're like, I'm going to approach this girl. I'm going to ask her for a phone number. We're going to go on a date, blah, blah, blah. Like all these intentions are put onto them, which puts a lot of pressure onto them. But I tell guys to drill back their intentions and just say, okay, there's a cute girl. I'm going to go talk to her and see if she's cool. And then if while you're talking to her, you're like, you know what? I want to find out more about her, but I'm busy today. Maybe I'll ask her for a phone number. I'm going to do that now. To go step by step and not just focus on, okay, how do I get this girl to like me? How do I make this girl attractive? How do I make her laugh? Because when you're doing that, you're not really being present in the conversation, which stops you from actually connecting.
But wouldn't you agree, Marnie, that the ideal place is to get to the point where your anxiety is so low that you can have more intention behind what you say, but it's okay?
Yes.
That's completely. The ultimate.
And I would agree as well. But that does not necessarily come with that type of practice.
And I also want to say that I think guys may be listening at home and hearing Marnie say, oh, no, just talk about your coffee that you're drinking. And they're thinking, there's no way you could talk about your coffee and that's it. Yes. As long as you're doing it in a cool, confident way, that's all you need. You don't need much more.
Oh, yeah, because you could go from that is that I know a better coffee shop and I'd love to take it. And here's my number. Whenever you get a chance, give me a buzz. You can do that too. But let me ask you this. I have this theory, and I want to hear what you both think about it. That
okay.
Emotional intimacy stops to some point when overt sexual intimacy gets involved. When there's some time to build some real dialogue and real comfort level where there is no anxiety and there's and you really like the girl. Meaning I tell people don't try to screw someone you're not attracted to and you don't like as a person. You know, have some standards and build something where you really kind of like this person and then take it from there. What do you guys think?
Well, all I would say about that is I don't really know how to create an emotional intimacy with the girl without first creating physical intimacy.
I think you have it backwards, Mark.
I think the physical is the pathway to the emotional.
No, I think the emotional is the pathway to the physical. Well, so, Monty, you have to weigh in on here.
Well, the thing is like, I don't want to skew myself towards saying that if you just want sex, that is wrong. Because I don't think
No, we're not talking wrong or right. It's fine either way, but here's the question. What is the pathway? I am saying that the emotional, okay, and the intellectual and the if we call it spiritual, and I don't mean religious, you know, connection creates a greater bond that leads to really amazing sex as opposed to really amazing sex leads to a great relationship. So that's what I want you to weigh in on.
Well, I agree with that. On a general basis, that is true. When you have more of a connection with them, when you meet at the mind, when you're also attracted to them, when you have common interests, there's so many things that can enhance your sexual experience. But there are some people who are just unbelievable in bed together. They just want the same thing, they do the same thing, and they have amazing sexual chemistry, but cannot make it happen on an emotional level.
How many men have you slept with before you met your husband?
I had slept with 11 people before I met my husband.
Okay, so from New York standards, you're a virgin. Mark.
But how many have you really slept with?
No. She's telling the truth. Right. So 11 men before your husband.
I've made out with a lot of guys. But yeah, for actual sex, 11 men.
Okay, and we both all agree here that if you're a bad kisser, there's going to be no sexual chemistry. Agreed?
Yeah, I guess.
Mark's not shaking his head.
Well, I'm trying to think when the last time I ran into a bad kisser. I don't know.
I've owned the bad. The thing is that like if I'm not kissing somebody that's not a good kisser, they're not going to be having sex with me later. So I actually don't even know the answer to that, to be honest. Because if they're a bad kisser, I don't want to do anything more with them.
Right, absolutely.
I'm not turned on at all.
Mark
so
has a lot of
luck. They could have been amazing in bed, but I never gave them the chance to find out.
Monty, we could talk all day. You were absolutely wonderful, and I love the fact that your child was in your arms the whole time. You are.
Me too, and he wasn't making a peep.
It doesn't matter when he makes a peep or not. Just the fact that you are helping guys get confidence, believe in themselves, understand that it's not all about one thing. For some women, yes, they want money. They want money. For others, they want intelligence. They want, and most women, of course, have their list. But we all tend to compromise on some of the things that we want. And that's just part of life. And if we don't compromise now, it will turn into a compromise. Thanks for coming on to our show. You were wonderful.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye.
I want to once again thank Monty Kinrice for coming on to our show. Visit her website at www.winggirlmethod.com. She offers everything from sessions to DVDs, giving quality dating advice and seduction advice to men. I am Dr. Errol Gluck. Remember, to every problem there is a solution. I will provide that solution. Check out our other episodes on gluckradio.com. Keep listening. If sending in your feedback, if you need to reach me, it's 212-599-3195. Till next time.